First Timothy chapter 6 verse 1.
Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
Now here St. Paul is saying to Timothy, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Now someone would say, our bosses giving us hard time, they do not love us, and they tell us to work hard, why we should honor them? And today also there are people crying out, so many people making so much money, and we should have their money to coming to us. But when you poor, you like some rich man's money to coming to you. But when you are poor and you worked hard and you became a millionaire, and then somebody tells you, give me your money, how do you feel? You feel that I worked hard and I got these things, why am I going to give it away? Hear the word of God saying, there are so many masters, different kinds of masters, different kinds of company, different kinds of people are boss around you. And if you are a born-again Christian and working in somebody's company or under somebody, how you should behave, that's what the St. Paul is trying to tell Timothy to teach his church members. Whole world is watching to Christians, how you behave in the church, in the house, in your job, how do you work? Each and every person will be looking at you as a Christian, how you working in a factory or company. So he's saying, there might be boss who is not Christian, and you work for him. So how should you be working? You working for the boss just like you're working for Christ. So when you are servant, you should not be thinking, why he is the boss, and why I have to be slave to him? Why should be I am working for him? If everybody start doing that, you won't be going to top. I heard one man's story. You might have heard it too, because it was in an advertisement on the TV. This man said, I worked for the Walmart, and I saw a job opening. And so I took a job pushing the carts. And he was just pushing the cart in the Walmart. But he says, now I'm a boss running the Walmart store. If he was not faithful in a job, if he was not having a vision, today I'm pushing the carts, tomorrow I might be boss. And there are some people, they will be pushing the cart until they die. They have no vision to be a boss someday. So hear the word of God saying, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. That means if you're working, you have a yoke upon you, and you are pressed down, and you get angry at your boss. Jesus Christ said, oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So once you make Jesus Christ as your master, and you be a servant of Jesus Christ, it will be easy for you to work for anybody without complaining. And that's what the word of God is saying. Then he's saying that the name of God and his doctrine be not be blasphemed. What does it mean? He said if a Christian working in the secular job and those people are looking at you as a Christian, you don't do proper job and you start fighting with them, then God's name will not be glorified. We are God's hands and feet working for Jesus Christ and winning souls for Christ. There are people slave in somebody's house. Do you know that Naaman was the man who had the leprosy? But there was a Jewish girl working in his house. In our country, there is a man of God can pray for you. And she got the message and man went there to get healed. I don't want to give the whole story, but point I'm making, the little girl, servant girl, tried to give the message to the master, go and get healed. If she didn't say anything, that master will not be getting healed. So wherever you are, you have to say, God sent me here. In a company, in a church, in a factory, or wherever you go, say, God sent me here. So I'm going to shine. I'm going to let the whole world know that I belong to Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Otherwise, he said, you have to know the doctrine, means teaching of Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ taught us. He said, if somebody slap in this side, you show another cheek. That means you be humble. Jesus never taught us to take revenge. The word of God says, revenge is mine. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. So the word of God is saying, do not try to take revenge. Revenge is mine. Let's read the words too.
And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort.
Now here he's saying, in case you're working in a factory, you're working in a job, and that person is born again boss, like a John Wanamaker. Do you know that John Wanamaker was a Christian man? Or his company, and start giving 10%, 20%, 30%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90% of his income to the Lord. So if you're working for that man, you will be happy. Here he's saying, if there is a born-again Christian, a boss, and he hired you, and he goes to the same church, I know him, I shake hands with him, he's my buddy. So I'm not going to work hard for him, he will pay me anyhow. No. If the boss is a Christian, and you are a Christian, you're supposed to do the right job. Give him the honor that he's your boss. In your church, he might be your friend, but in a job, he's your boss. If you don't treat him and give him honor because he's a Christian brother and you start acting like he's your buddy, other people who are working for him, they're looking at you. What kind of honor give to that boss? How do you love that man and how do you respect that man? They're going to look at it. You cannot play game with him in a job. In a job, you should salute him. In a job, you do right kind of job. So that's what he's saying. If he's a brother, that brother who is a boss, he is serving for the Lord. He gives tithes and offerings to God. He is building the kingdom of God. He is helping you to giving you job to someday you can be co-worker with him. He can make you boss. He can even start another company for you if you are faithful. If you are a boss, you are Christian, and other Christian people are working for you, and you don't treat them well, they are not going to work for you. But if you are a boss, a Christian boss, and another people working for you, you train them and say, listen, what company we have, we want to make the branches around the world. And we are going to give you good benefits. He said, those believers, bosses, they are benefits to the kingdom of God. They are helping to build the kingdom of God. So you should be helping that boss, not putting him down and saying, you Christian, you come to church, and why are you bossing around me here? Because that is his job. The police officer might be your friend, but when he's in a job, you should respect him. You cannot say, he's my friend and I'm going to go 90 miles speed. He's not going to catch me. He's on duty. Even though you are his friend, you break the law, he's supposed to catch you and give you the ticket. That's what the Word of God is saying. If your boss is a friend or a Christian, don't take advantage and start doing the wrong thing. Do the right thing. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. All the bosses are appointed by God.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
See, here is saying, whoever resists the power of the boss, they are resisting actually God. Why? Because God put those people there in higher authorities, and if you don't listen to them, that means you are disobeying God.
For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake.
So he's saying, you should not be just obeying because there will be punishment, but you should have good conscience. I am a good servant. I am a child of God. I am working in the company. If the boss is Christian, a boss is not a Christian. I'll do my best. And that's what the Christian life is all about. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3.
If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness.
Now here is saying, if there is somebody working in the company, a factory, or your friend, and start telling you, you know what? The boss is making a lot of money. His salary is too high. He makes $5 million a year, and we just get $10 per hour. We are going to fight. We are going to organize. We are going to fight and say, we need more money. And we're going to fight with the boss. And that kind of teaching comes. And you say so many people fighting with the bosses, and boss get fed up. And boss said, I'm going to close my company. And then many people lose the job. You see, all the time, the hospitals, the teachers, going on a strike, when you see how much they're making, and when you see one of the nurses, how much they're making, and some of the people may not have $9 or $7 per hour. Some people might making $50, $60, $100 per hour, and they go on strike. Other people are looking for a job. If I can get $10 per hour, I'll be happy. And so what the Word of God is saying, somebody comes to your company, and somebody comes to some certain kind of job and start telling you, how many years you're working? I'm working 10 years. What is your salary? I'm just getting $12 per hour. No. In some other company, they give $50. Man, you're working for $12? We have to join the union and fight. Sounds good. But what happened? When the strike comes, no paycheck comes, union is just started, union you do every month whatever you give. If you don't give, they don't fight for you. And then your children and everybody suffer. And the company said, well, I have lots of money. Why should I put up with this kind of problem? I close my factory. Then what? Then everybody suffers. So here the Word of God is saying, if any man teaches otherwise, what otherwise? Then what God's Word says. The God's Word says, when we are working for somebody, don't worry, don't be envy, don't be jealous. If he is not doing right kind of job, God will take care of him. God put somebody as a king, another day he can be beggar. It's in God's hand. The promotion comes from God. The God can put somebody king, another day he can eat the grass. It's God's hand. We have to believe that God gave me job, I'm going to be faithful. Ask my wife. She's working in one company, one hospital, since, I don't know, 36 or 37 years. Do you think it was easy? No. She used to come and cry. Oh, this person giving me hard time, that person is giving me hard time. I said, don't worry, we'll pray. Most of the people who give hard time, they lost their job, they went away, and some of them died. Point I'm making, when you are serving for the Lord, don't worry what other people are treating you. You are saying, I am serving the Lord, I'm doing for the Lord. He says, don't listen to those people who are coming and whispering you to fight with your bosses and fight with your company and fight for the more salary and more money. Don't do that. The promotion comes from the Lord, as I said. King, the word of God says, do not listen to somebody comes and whispers to you and start giving wrong teaching. Verse 4. 1 Timothy 6:4.
He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings.
Who is this person? Some person comes to you as a friend. He is a proud. This person has strifes and fighting and evil ideas. And he comes to you like a friend and try to tell you, let's fight with the bosses. Let's fight with the company. Let's get some more money and make some enemies. Do not listen. Verse 5.
Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.
So he said there is a man comes and brings all the evil ideas, how to fight, how to get more money, how to destroy these bosses and be our own bosses and make more money. And he says, making more money, they say that's their gain. Man, you have to have some brain to get some more money. There was a one man working as a civil engineer. And he was very honest. He was my church member. And civil engineer, when you are in India and are building big, big dams and big, big buildings, people will come and give you some kind of bribe to do some cheaper job, the contractor. If the contract is a $5 million contract and they have to use good stuff to make a strong building, this will come and say, okay, use 30% or 40% false items. This man said, no, sir. You go according to the code, otherwise I will fail your work. So nobody gives him a penny gift. Other engineers, they have $1 million houses, beautiful cars, and everything. And this man didn't have even watch to wear. And when he came, I said, you don't have watch? He said, let me tell you, I can live without a watch, but I don't want to take bribe. If I start taking bribe, I will have diamond watch. Today, he's a blessed man, retired, having a good house. His two children as a bank managers. And one day I sent him some money and he sent me a letter. Pastor Peter, please don't send me money. I have everything. We have cars, we have computers, we have everything. How did he get it? God supplied his need. He did not take any bribe from any contractor. Did the honest job. Today, he's blessed. So the word of God is saying, somebody comes to you, he's a proud man, making fighting and quarreling and teaching you everything and destroying everything and saying, gaining money is a God's business. We should be rich. You cannot be rich. God wants you to be rich, but not stealing somebody's money and doing wrong job and putting extra money in your pocket. So here he's saying what you should be doing. From such withdraw thyself. Means you stay away from those kind of people. They sound like they are making benefit for you and they are going to make you rich? He said, no, sir. I don't want this kind of thing. Those people trying to tell you, I'm going to make you rich, and there is a scheme, quick, rich. They can tell you how to be rich quick. Rich quick is not God's business. God wants you to be faithfully doing the Lord's work and doing whatever you're doing for the Lord, and He will make you rich. We'll learn in this chapter. Okay, let's read verse 6.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out.
Now he says, but godliness with the contentment is a great gain. That means if you are a godly man and if you are happy what God is doing in your life, doesn't matter how much you make, God will keep that money in your hand. The word of God says the righteous man little bit is more than the wicked man. How it happens? Wicked man's money goes like a flood. Comes one way, goes seven ways. Work hard, there is a hole in the bucket or hole in the pocket. Doesn't stay money. You make a lot of money goes away. Why? Because they are not doing for the Lord and they are not content what they have. They should be happy. I make $1,000 today. Thank God I made $1,000. I'm going to give $100 to the Lord. And then you see how you're making $1 million or $10 million. Keep on doing it. But if somebody doesn't give to the Lord, like that man says, I'm saving for the rainy days, whatever they have will be gone. Nothing stays because the evil money has wings. They fly away. So he says, for we bought nothing into this world, and it is certain we cannot carry nothing out when we die. Do you know? When we come into this world, we come with an empty hand. When we die, we go with an empty hand. You might have everything what the somebody needs in the world. You have everything. But if you don't have God, all the things what we have, we are going to live here. We're going to go with an empty hand. No rich man will take $1 million from here to heaven. Everything stays here. Verse 8.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
Now here is saying, if you have food, if you have clothes, and that is enough. If you have food to eat and clothes to wear and house to live, you should be happy. But people are not happy. Take a tour, world tour, and come back. Then you say, wow, America is blessed. Other country, they're producing oil and they are paying more than us. How it happened? Why? Because they have no God. But God is with us. God says, I will supply all your needs. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. Go and read the Matthew chapter 6. You start reading from verse 25 to verse 33. We don't have time. When you read there, he says, why you worry about tomorrow? What I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to do, you don't have to worry. He says, all these worldly people who do not have God, they worry. Think about millionaires. Did some millionaire told you that I have $10 million now is enough? No. They can have $10 billion is not enough. $10 trillion is not enough. They keep on making money. And then what happens? They don't have children. They don't have, some of them cannot eat, have disease, cannot sleep, have no rest. And sometimes they die and their money goes to the government or they have to donate to somebody. Point I'm making, God says, don't worry. You need money, some people say. Why the churches are teaching us, if you have a little bit money, if you have a little bit food, and be happy. Don't worry. No. God doesn't want you to be poor. He said you have to be satisfied what God has given to you. He will make you rich. Let's read verse 9.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Now he said, if you really want to be rich without God, you have a problem. Because if you trying to be rich, he says, you will fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown man into destruction and perdition, means to hell. So the money can take you to hell if you don't have God. Because money have lots of temptation. And he said all the temptation will come and try to drown you down the hell. So God is saying, if you go after money, money is good. But if you go after money without God, that money will kill you. That money will destroy you. That's what he's trying to say. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, and what happened? They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through the many sorrows. So what he's trying to say? Love of money is root of all kinds of evil. So somebody says, I love money. If you love money, you have a problem. You don't love money. You love God. And God supplies your money. If you go after money, money will run from you. If you're going after money, and money is your goal to be a millionaire, you are going in a wrong way. Money is not the answer. Our radio program name is what? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for your problems, not the money. As I said, money has wings. They will fly away. But God is always with you. So what we do? Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what? Please read.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
All these things. What things? The things the unsaved people, the worldly people are looking for. They are going after and they are killing each other, destroying each other because of love of money. He says, don't worry about what the other people are doing. You come to me. You follow me. You seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And whatever you need, God will supply. What psalmist says, Psalm 23rd, everybody knows. He said what? Lord is my shepherd and what? I shall not want. Means I will not have any lacking in my life if I keep my Lord, my shepherd. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. What it says? My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Our God is a rich God. He's not poor. So when he starts helping you, you will have more than enough. Our God called what? El Shaddai. Do you know what El Shaddai means? El Shaddai means all sufficient God. Nothing lacking in that God. That's the kind of God we have. He supplies our need. And so let's read the verse 11.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
So if he said, if you're a man of God, what you do? Run away from this money problem. Don't go after money. Because he said, if you are a man of God, look for the righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. If you start doing that, God will supply your needs. That's what we learned. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then everything what you need will be added unto you. Verse 12.
Fight the good fight of faith. lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
He says, you know, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. And that's the reason God has called us. God did not call us to be a millionaire. We just look after God, give our tithes, and be happy in the Lord. He will provide. He knows how to make you rich. And so let's read the verse 13.
I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now he said, look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our model. What he does, he quickeneth us, means he gives us a life. Jesus Christ is a life giver. And when he was standing before the Pilate, and Pilate said, you know, I have the power to deliver you, so you don't have to go to cross. He didn't say, oh, thank you, Pilate. You are a good man. My father wants me to go and get killed. You are a good man. I don't want to go to cross. He said, no. He gave a good witness to Pilate. What did he say? I am the life. I have my life in my hand. Who gave you the power to deliver me? All the power is from above. And I have the life. I can lay down on my life. I can take my life back to me. So he says he is the life giver. Jesus Christ is the quickening of your soul. He gives you life to the dead body. When the Lazarus was dead for 4 days, what did he say? He didn't say they cried there, oh God, I don't know how I'm going to raise him up. When he was weeping, people started saying, oh, he's weeping because he has compassion. No. He was not weeping for that. He was weeping for their unbelief and their doubt. He just went to the tomb and what did he say? Lazarus, come forth. He didn't cry. He had the power. That's why he said, I am the resurrection. And what? I am the life. So he's saying, look at Jesus Christ. He's your model. So that's what the Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 he says. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We don't look at the people. They are not our models. Jesus Christ is the model. That's why he said, Timothy, look at Jesus Christ. He stood in front of Pilate. He has a good witness. So take the witness from the life giver. Don't listen to anybody. Listen to Jesus Christ. Verse 16, or 15 and 16.
Which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
What is he trying to say? Where are you looking, Timothy? Look into Jesus Christ, who is the greatest of all. He is the one, King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all the power, all the majesty, all the life and everything, everlasting life, comes from Jesus Christ. Don't look left or right. Looking unto Jesus Christ, he is the one has power over everything and over everyone. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He has the everlasting life. Many, many people saw visions of heaven and there are books out. Not a single person was able to say, I saw Jesus Christ with my own eyes or I saw Father sitting on throne. No, they saw only light. So much light, they could not see anything. So he said, God is light, so powerful, you cannot see him. You cannot stay in the presence of God. But thank God, Jesus Christ reduced himself, became a man, so we can have a fellowship with God. And now he says, now when you come through Jesus Christ, you have boldness to stand before God and pray. Because he gives you righteousness of Jesus Christ. So he says, no one has seen God any time. Only Jesus Christ only begotten Son who was in the bosom of Father. He revealed us who Father is. So he says, our God is so great, so powerful. He is the light, everlasting life giver. And no one can stand before God. He says he gives everlasting life. And so verse 17.
Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy.
See, I told you, I'll tell you how God wants to make you rich. See here, remember these words. He said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they may be not high-minded, not trust in the uncertain of riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to what? To enjoy. God doesn't want his children to be beggars. We are what? We are the king's kids. If my father is a king, do you think I should be a beggar? No. I am a king's kid. So he said, you don't trust in your money. You don't trust in your worldly treasures. Trust in God. Your God is a heavenly God. He is the one who owns everything. If I know my God created everything and he has created me and now I am his son, I have no lacking because my God is a rich God. So when you giving to God your tithes and offerings, God multiplies your treasure to enjoy. Having a boat is not a sin. Having a plane is not a sin. Having a big mansion is not a sin. Having servants is not a sin. He says he will give you. When? When you seek first the kingdom of God. When you start giving to God. When you start developing the kingdom of God and helping the kingdom of God to grow. Then he says, okay, now I'm going to supply your needs. I'm going to make you rich. You know the book of Malachi and chapter 3, verse 10, everybody tells you. He says, give your tithes and offerings to God and he will open the heavenly windows and he will pour down the blessings and you will not have room to store it. Sounds good. But at the same time, if you read the 11th verse, he says, when you start giving to me, means to God, he says, I will fight your devourer. Say, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. When? When the Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, he says, when you give it to me, your tithes and offerings, I will fight your devourer. Who is our devourer? The devil. John chapter 10 verse 10, he says, the enemy comes to kill, steal and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Now here we are going to read a couple of verses. You remember this. When you want to be rich without God, it's a miserable thing. Let's read James chapter 5. Read first 6 verses. He says, tell the rich man. What's going to happen?
Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you.
He said, rich man, weep and howl. Who howls? Dogs. Oh, like this. He said, now you weep and weep like a dog. Your miseries are coming. You enjoy your money. You know the Lazarus and rich man story, you know? How the rich man went to hell. And say, oh, Abraham, howling, oh, please, let the Lazarus put his pinky in the water and put it on my tongue. That was the weeping and crying for a little water. Let's read verse 2.
Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten.
He says to rich man, your riches are corrupted and your garments are eaten by moth. You know some rich man's suit you have to go and find out. $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 suit. He said, now the moth is eating. You cannot wear those clothes again. Go ahead.
Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days.
See, he says your money is against you, and that money is eating you like a fire is devouring you. So that money is going against you. Do you know Howard Hughes? Anybody heard about Howard Hughes? Howard Hughes was the billionaire, I don't know, billionaire or trillionaire. Very rich man in America one time. He cried for food and he was in miserable condition. So this is what happened. If you don't have a God, and if you have lots of money, and you did not give your tithe and offering, that money will come against you one day. Go ahead.
Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth.
See what he's trying to say. He says, you did not give the wages properly, but you promised them $10 and then you give $5. So he said, their salary is crying out that you take their blood, you take their money, you did not give them proper money. Now that money is crying out against you. And so this is what happened to rich people. They are sometime today, they're billionaire. Next day, they go and kill themselves or die like a fool. Okay, let's finish that. You don't have to read that further. Go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 7, verse 19. The days are coming. The rich people who has a silver and gold. See what's going to happen. Now you heard the advertisement. You know what? You want to preserve your money? Buy gold. And you say, hell, gold is good because the gold prices are going up. See what the word of God is saying.
They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity.
See, their silver, their gold will not be able to deliver them or help them the time of their trouble. You can have, just think that somebody says, I'm going to get the diamonds and the jewelry and silver and gold, and I'm not going to go to church, I'm not giving to tithe or any of my neighbor's food or anything. And there comes the famine. What happens? Are you going to eat the dinner for the diamonds and the lunch for the silver and the late night snack with the gold? No. So silver and gold is not the answer. What is the answer? Jesus is the answer for our life. So here he says, if you rich men, right now, if you work for God and give their wages properly and help them poor and needy, God says, I am going to open the heavenly windows for you. Pour down the blessing. You will not have room to keep it. And you will enjoy the richness of God. Okay, let's read verse 18. We are going to finish soon.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
See, in this world, you can make your future. Why God has kept us in this world? So we can find the way to heaven. Go to the Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus Christ was saying where your treasure should be. Matthew 6, I think, verse 90. Okay, go ahead.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
So here the word of God is saying, where your treasure should be, store your treasures in the heavenly bank. He said, I don't know where, how to put it in the heavenly bank. Does anywhere the heavenly bank is available, I'll put my treasure. He says, yes, bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse. What is the storehouse? It's the church. When you give your tithes and offerings to the church, then you are storing in the heavenly kingdom. And when you have need, God supplies your need. Just think that there was a believer giving $100 or $1,000 to the church. And one day he got a sick. What happens? Pastor runs to his house. Pastor goes and helps him. Or he lost the job. Then we go and help them. That's what it is. So when you put it in a bank, what happens? You go and withdraw it, right? The same way when you're going in the heavenly bank, when you have need, God will supply your need. That's what the word of God is saying. But if you start sowing in the wrong place, you are not going to reap. Where do you sow? Sow the church who are preaching the full gospel. The church was reaching out, winning souls, helping the people and helping the poor people in the church. And when you say, when you're sowing there, wherever you sow, your heart will be there. What does it mean? When you meet people, what church you go to? International Christian Fellowship. Oh, I want to go there. So wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be. So you are going to bring souls to the kingdom of God. Okay, let's finish it. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 20, 21.
O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called.
Now he's saying, Timothy, I warn you. In this world there are philosophers and scientists and all kinds of things trying to entice you from the truth. Other day I was watching the Christian program. And now there, you know, there is one is creation theory and one is what? Evolution theory. Now the evolution theory is all people believe blindly, even though there is no scientific proof to their theory. Most people who are not Christian, they believe the evolution theory. But the creation theory is as simple. God created everything. God created the universe. God created mankind. God created everything. It is too hard for people to believe. He said, we came from monkey. Somebody taught you. Take the monkey's heart, and when you need a heart, transplant the monkey's heart. Will you live or die? You will die. You need a blood transfusion. Take the monkey's blood, put it in your body. Will you live or die? Die. Now, how can you say you came from monkey? If you came from monkey, then his blood and your blood should be one, isn't it? But the man teaches you wrong thing to go away from God. They say, listen to this. There was a blob or something, and from the blob become bird and elephant and everything. Why is not happening today? It happened that time and not happened today. All blindness. But now there are Christian scientists proving to this evolution of people that there is a God. And there is a God who created mankind. And in the mankind's body, there are trillions and trillions of cells. And they found one cell they can see magnify 50,000 times. And they say, there is a factory going on in your cell. Actually, you see the some kind of engine in your bodies God has created. Run to God. Listen to the word of God. Read the Bible. Study the word. Well, there is man, he says, I don't believe in any God. And he was rich and everything. And his wife got saved. She said, read the Bible. She gave it to him and he said, read the John's Gospel for 3 times. And he read it 3 times. Today he's a servant of God. What I'm trying to say, there was another man, he said, I'm going to prove the Bible is wrong. He said, I'm going to read and find out all the faults in the Bible. And he started doing that, and he became a Christian. Today he's a lawyer, you might have heard about him. He fights for Christians today. How did he become Christian? Just reading the Bible. And I can give thousands of stories. So what St. Paul is telling Timothy, avoid this scientific theory, pulling away from God. Avoid those things. Verse 21.
which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
See what he's trying to say. Avoid this thing. These are foolish things. So what you need, he says, I want you to have the grace of God. And grace of God is all sufficient. Each and every situation, what we need? Jesus. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle working God. You're going to touch your people. You're going to heal your people. You're going to deliver your people. And Lord Jesus, bless your people and use them mightily for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.